I want to share a message called What Just Happened. Have you ever asked yourself something that happened that was just unbelievable or something that happened to you and you were like, what just happened? Well, today I want to share this message with you. As I read from Luke's Gospel chapter 2 verses 8 to 20, I want to share this message of the Christ being born. If you at Family Life, I encourage people as we read the scriptures to open to stand. Would you do that in honor of God's word? Would you stand with me as I read Luke chapter 2 verses 8 to 20? You'll see the verses come up here if you don't have your Bibles today. If you do, turn there with me. It says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Lord, as your word is open today, I pray that your word would accomplish in our hearts and our lives what you intend today. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. So on this night that we remember, some 2,000 years ago, I want to take a look at what actually happened, what actually took place on this night. It was a child that was born, but it was so much more than just a child. Galatians chapter 4, Paul puts it in an interesting way. The Apostle Paul writes this to those in Galatia, and he says this, if you could put that next slide up. I don't know, did we add this one? I think we did. Paul writes this. Now look at this closely with me, if you would. He says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into where? Into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, has anybody ever known someone, or maybe you have been adopted yourself? Anybody? Is anybody maybe in here you were adopted? Anybody here? Okay. Wow. Okay. There was a girl from our days in Pittsburgh area. She was Miss Pennsylvania this year. If you watch, what was it? Miss America this week? Miss Pennsylvania. Her name is Tiffany Seitz. And she was Miss Pennsylvania. She was 1 or 2 years old at our old church in Pittsburgh. And she was adopted as a young child. And there's a long story there, but she was brought into a family that loved her and raised her. This verse that Paul writes to us says, you have been adopted into whose family? Who's God's, right? Into his family as you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And when you do that, you are brought into the family of God. John 1 verse 14 puts it like this. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. That is, God put on human skin. Everybody have human skin here today, right? God put on human skin and came to live among us through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said in John 14:9, he said, he who has seen me has seen who? My Father. Jesus said, if you see me, you're seeing God. That's why God put on human flesh and he dwelt among us, and that's why he came to earth. So what did happen on this night when we remember Joseph and Mary and Bethlehem and the angels and the shepherds? We remember all that in the Christmas story, but really heaven descended to earth. Amen? Heaven came to earth. The entrance of God came into human history and walked amongst us, and the Prince of Peace invaded our world. How many of you could use a little peace this time of year? You know, you're just, in this time of year, has anybody been out shopping lately? It's not very peaceful, huh? Does anybody get a little stressed in the lines and in the malls and in the gas stations and in the post offices and on and on and on and on, right? Do you ever think Jesus intended this type of celebration? You know, there's some verses here in John 1. I want to give you a remembrance of these verses, because we got to go back to the very beginning of time to see where Jesus began. How many of you know Jesus just didn't begin in the manger? Do you realize that? Where was he? In the very beginning, look with me in John chapter 1 with me, if you would. It says here in John, the Gospel of John, in the New Testament, it says, in the beginning. Everybody say that. In the beginning. Does that sound like Genesis 1? Remember the verse in Genesis that says what? In the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the earth. Now stay with me here, okay? So in the beginning, in the Gospel of John, was the Word. And the Word was with God. Now who is the Word? Jesus. So it's saying that Jesus was with God when? In the manger? Yes, but before that. In the beginning, at creation. And then it goes on, it says, and the Word was God. That means Jesus was God and is God. We believe in the Trinity. Do you? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Jesus was with God there in the beginning. Verse 2. He, Jesus, was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Through who? Through Jesus. And without Jesus, without him, nothing was made that was made. Did Jesus have a critical, somebody help me out. Did he have a great part in creation? It says nothing was created or formed of what we see without who? Without Jesus. Yes, God was the Father and the master planner of it all, right? It's like he was planning it all out, and then through his Son, Jesus, he created all things. And then it even says that even the Spirit was hovering over the water. So the Holy Spirit was there as well. Isn't that a beautiful plan of the beginning of time? And so it goes on in verse 4, it says, in him was life. When you come to Jesus Christ and you ask him to be your Savior, do you know what he pours into you? life, meaning, purpose, hope, love, joy. He brings it all. Without Jesus, you have none of that. Only Jesus can add these things to your life. And in verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. You see, through his son Jesus, the Word, everything was created, and there was hope. Without Jesus, nothing would have been created. John 1:14, that's why it says here, and the Word, Jesus, became what? Flesh and dwelt among us. God became flesh through his son Jesus, and he walked among us. So the question in three things I want to kind of briefly touch on. Everybody still awake with me here? You guys look good. Hanging in there. I put the air on so it didn't get too warm. Everybody good with that? Last week it got warm. Somebody's like, you got to turn that down. You know, put the air on. So you comfortable? Okay, perfect. Okay. These next three things could change your life. If you're here in church today, I'm glad you are. But if you don't know Jesus today, I hope you do. I hope you find him here today. I'm doing a funeral tomorrow of an 88-year-old lady that passed away. She knew Jesus as her Savior. And you know, tomorrow, I can say to those people there, I could say, because of her faith in Jesus Christ, not because she went to church. How many of you know you can go to church and not know Jesus? And many do. They check it off their box every week, but they've never repented of their sin. Has anybody ever sinned before? I'll put my hand up first. Okay, if you didn't raise your hand, you just lied. Now you can put it up. Because you just sinned. We've all sinned. Every one of us. And we've fallen short of the glory of God. Why did Jesus come to earth? What just happened? When he invaded our world, why? Was it so we could have these parties this time of year? We can go shopping. We can give gifts. We can put a tree up. We can act crazy in the stores. Is that why he came? First and foremost, this is why Jesus came. He came to save us from our sins. Matthew 1:21. I love this verse because it sums up the Christmas story in this one verse. It says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. See, he suffered, he bled, he died. Why? For you and for me, for our sins. It was from the cradle to the cross, right? The cradle was the entrance of God into humanity through Jesus when he put on skin and he lived a perfect life and he bled and he died at the cross for you and me. Now, it's very interesting, the gifts that were brought to Jesus. We talked about them last week. What were the three gifts? Gold, frankincense, and what else? Myrrh. Last week, we talked about myrrh is a It was a symbol of what? Anybody remember? I won't give you points unless it's the guys. I won't give points. It was a symbol of what? Suffering. That third gift that the kings brought, the wise men brought, it was myrrh. And it was a symbol of suffering that Christ would have to suffer for us. Look at this verse at the end of his life in Mark. I don't know if we have that one next or not, Nancy. Is the kings and the wise men brought myrrh to him in Mark 15:23, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, it says, then they gave him wine mingled with what? With myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. Isn't it interesting that those wise men brought myrrh when Jesus was just a young child, and then later as Jesus was on the cross, that myrrh that they brought him as a child, he was then being offered to it on the cross. See, he suffered, he bled, he died for us. The second reason Jesus came to earth is this, to sympathize with us and to help us in our time of need. In Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16, do you have that next slide up there? There it is. These verses in Hebrews, listen to what the Hebrew writer says. He says this, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." That is saying, Jesus is our high priest. Aren't you glad that you don't have to go to a earthly priest to have your sins forgiven? Are you glad for that? This is saying we don't have a high priest that can't sympathize with our need in our temptation, because Jesus, how many of you know Jesus was tempted in every way that we are? Do you believe that? When he was led into the desert and he was tempted in every way that we are, but he overcame every temptation that came his way. Why? So that we can overcome. And he sympathizes with us because he knows the struggle. Anybody struggle every day? I do. We struggle every day. And if we don't have Jesus, we have no hope. It goes on in verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore, because of this, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." See, that second reason Jesus came is to sympathize with us and to help us in our time of need. And Jesus, when he went back to heaven, when he says, he didn't leave us as orphans then, but he would send the Holy Spirit to live where? Within our hearts, to help us in our time of need here on earth. Now, how many of you are not real good at showing sympathy? Somebody gets sick in your family, let's just say. You know, they have a cold. And that person, they like to get the most out of that cold and just be served and taken care of, and you know, and you just want sympathy. How many of you can relate to that? You're sick, you want sympathy. Well, if you're married, you know, some of you have sympathy and some of you do not. Some of you are like, get better and get up. So how many of you had a mother that when you got sick, your mom did everything in the world to take care of you? I had a mom like that. Boy, many of you didn't, huh? But, you know, sympathy is a gift. How many of you had a mom when you got sick? They were like, get going, you know. But sympathy is a gift. These verses say Jesus sympathizes with our needs. And if you don't have Jesus in your life, you need him. Because if you don't, you have no one to show you that sympathy that you need. Because he knows what you're walking through. He knows where you're at. He knows your struggles. He knows your temptations. He knows it all. How many of you know Jesus knows everything? So why do we hide things from him when he wants us to just come to him? The third reason Jesus came, and the last one, is this. It's huge. First, he came to save us from our sins. Second, he came to sympathize with us and help us in our time of need. And the third reason is this, to intercede on our behalf. The writer of Hebrews also said this. If you're taking notes, write these down. Look at them later. It says, therefore, he, Jesus, is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to him, to come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. That is saying Jesus always lives. How many of you know Jesus is alive today? He's not on the cross anymore. Aren't you glad for that? He died for our sin. He was buried. He was resurrected to new life, right? He's alive. Amen. And so he lives. Why? To intercede on our behalf. He takes our requests and presents them to our Father in heaven and says, here are your children. here are their needs. I want to demonstrate this. I need some help here today. I want you to picture this with me, and I need a volunteer to play somebody with a need that you're not afraid to share what that need is here today. It could be little, it could be big. Anybody willing to do that? You have a need, a prayer request on your heart. Anybody? You just have a need. Do we have one? Kyle, come on up. Okay. Now I need somebody to play God. So Kyle, you're standing here. You have a need. Somebody to play God. Yeah, or just right here for right now. Yeah, that's good. David, you're God. Yeah.
I might need prayer for this.
Okay, this is great. It's interesting these two chose. David, let me just share this. David began coming to Family Life, oh my, shortly after we began.
Yeah.
And he came, I don't know if he came to the high school or the intermediate school.
Intermediate school.
David then invited Kyle to come to church. This is interesting. These two guys are up here.
He was playing God.
It's still going on, right? And
I had a need at that time.
And you, this is perfect. I couldn't have made this have picked out any better. You had a need, right?
Yeah.
And so Kyle came to Family Life, but even more importantly, Kyle came to know Jesus as his Savior. Kyle is serving in Lebanon, PA, getting ready to go to Oregon for a month to take some classes through YWAM, and possibly then going 3 months to Romania on missions, and then maybe for 2 years after that. Is that correct?
That's the plan.
And so
I think need behind that.
Yeah, and I think is that your need today?
Yeah, it's just financial, hoping that everything will work out financially. I'm trusting, believing, but it's always a need as a missionary and full-time missions. This is finances.
Okay. So Kyle has a need, right? He has a request on his heart that he's believing God's going to answer that need. Now, God over here. Hi, David.
Am I giving him money?
Oh, that's great. You're God, you know. I guess you have to meet the need. No. So he has a need, and the Father here wanting to hear the request. Now, I'm going to play Jesus in the middle here. What did it say he lives to do? Intercede on our behalf. So Kyle just shared that need with me. This is how prayer works. You go to Jesus. He hears your request. Why? Because he knows. He's been tempted in every way. He put on skin, right? He came to earth. He was tempted in every way. He had all the needs before him that you have. And so Kyle comes and says, you know, Jesus, I have this need. Jesus intercedes and goes to the Father. This is how prayer works, and says, Abba, Father, God, this child of yours has a need. And I ask that you would meet this need in his life. Now, how many of you know a father wants to meet the needs of his children?
Amen.
And so when you go to prayer, now you could go give him money. Go, you guys can sit down. But that's how prayer works. You see, we have a need as children. We come to Jesus who put on flesh, and it says he's alive today, and he intercedes for us, and he goes to our Father, says, your children are praying, God, and God wants to bless his children.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. So now we know why Jesus came to earth. But now, may I ask, why did he leave? Why did he leave? Could he have lived forever amongst us without dying? Could Jesus do anything? He's God, right? He could have. So why at in his early 30s, was he crucified? Well, for our sins, right? He was buried. He was resurrected. But why did he then, after the resurrection, he walked the earth for 40 days? And he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit for you. So why did Jesus then leave this earth? Well, in John 14, it gives us a picture of even now what he's doing. He's interceding for us, yes, but he's even doing something more for us at the same time. In John 14, verses 1 to 3, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That's a huge statement. Jesus said, you believe in God, but then what did he say? Believe also in me. How many of you know there are a lot of people that believe in God, a God, but they don't believe in Jesus? Okay? Jesus, we're going to see here, is the only way to heaven. It's only through Jesus Christ that we enter into heaven as he is our intercessor. In verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Right now, he went back to heaven. He's interceding for us, but he's also preparing a home for us. Isn't that great? You won't have to dust it, probably. Sweep the floors. Polish this, polish that. Clean this. Aren't you glad? What's that?
No cooking.
No cooking. Probably not. I don't know. I don't know how food's going to be prepared. Heaven's going to be different than what you might picture it. Some of you are picturing being on a cloud playing a harp. Different than that. See, heaven is being prepared for you. Do you know the heavenly city the Bible teaches us? I'm not going to get into all this right now. Will descend on the new earth someday. And the heavens and the earth that we know now will pass away. Do you know that this earth will not be here forever? There will be a new heaven and a new earth, and the city, the new Jerusalem that is being built and prepared for you will descend on that new earth. There will be gates in that city that you'll be able to come and go out of. See, heaven's going to be a great place. And then he says this in verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, he wants you to be with him forever. The last verses I'll share from John 1, verses 11 through 13. You must be his child. You don't automatically get into heaven just by being a good person, just by living a full life. You must become a child of God, and that only happens when you do this next thing. Verse 11 of John 1. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Did you catch that? To those that do what? Believe in him. See, Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in who? In him. So as we believe in him, it says we become children of God. To those that believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, you must be, John 3:3 says, you must be born again. Now, how many of you have been born physically? Every one of us. That's not a trick question, right? Destiny's getting ready in a few weeks to have twins. Henry and Eden. Love those names. They will be born of the flesh, right? Every one of us in here, we have a birth date, right? But see, this verse here says that those who are born of God, in John 3:3 says, unless you are born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven, period. And that means you must say, Jesus, you died for me. I'm a sinner. Be my Savior. Forgive me. I believe that you died for me. Come and live in my heart. And do you know what? At that moment, your book is written in the book of life, and you have a place in heaven. We're going to close in a word of prayer.